and welcome to another edition of Visions, a program which focuses on disability matters and persons living with disabilities. And today is no different. I'm really excited to be chatting with three beautiful people. Martin Jackman, president of the Paralympics of Barbados, Adele Price, a teacher, coach, and one of our star athletes, Antoine Boyce Vaughn. Welcome to the program, gentlemen and lady.
Thank you very much, Yudli. Thanks for having us here to share with you today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's my pleasure having you in my company. And of course, you know, thousands of people across the world listening to this program, also learning about who you are. So let's start with you, Martin. Tell us a little about yourself and how you got involved with Paralympics.
Well, I said again, my name is Martin Japp. I am a father of a child with a disability, spinal bifida. And from early stage, Shaki was very interested in becoming involved in sports. He attended at that point in time the Shriners Hospital for Children in Florida for medical care, which he could not at that point in time get here in Barbados. And on his first visit there, his physiotherapist saw that he was very interested and very athletic and very interested in sports. And she wanted to encourage him. So on the evenings, we would go out into the hall and we would play things like volleyball. We would do a little racing. And then we got into track and field. My son is now 26 years old. That started about 20 years ago or more than that. And after that, returning to Barbados to find out that there was no one really here that I can get to train him. So I started on those visits to become what they would call an apprentice coach and learning all the different sports, how to adapt to them, how to get persons with disabilities to become interested in them, etc. And that was my beginning in the area of Paralympic sports.
Okay, Adele?
Yes, please. So I have been teaching swimming for over 20 years. Mainstream, I had some work with Special Olympics. I used to be a lifeguard. I worked on the beaches of Barbados for 11 years. And then when there was an opportunity to move to the National Sports Council as a swim coach, I made that transition where I would normally teach the school program where the government schools would bring a class to the aquatic center. And I'm there Monday to Friday, 9 till 3, teaching school children. In February of 2019, Barbados would have been visited by two members of the Japanese university, Nippon Sports Science University, and they were seeking to have Barbados represented at the Tokyo Games. They came to Barbados. They would have met with the Paralympic Association. They met with my bosses at the National Sports Council. Mind you, all of this was done without me being aware of these things happening. They would have identified that they wanted a swimmer to participate, and they were particularly interested in having gender equity at the games. They said if they could get a female swim coach, if they could get a female swimmer. So turns out that my name came up in the interview process, and once I met with them, they selected me to participate in their program. I went off to Japan 3 weeks later for a small training course. And upon returning to Barbados, I was introduced to the, the physically disabled community in Barbados. So that was my introduction to Paralympics.
That's a good introduction. So Antoine, what about you?
Well, my disability is an amputation of the right leg, joined from osteosarcoma. How I got into the sport was my prosthetist Suzanne Watts told my mother about Adele, who was looking for people to swim for the Paralympics. And that's how I basically got started.
Okay, so how was that experience for you? Was it difficult? Were you able to swim before?
Yeah, I didn't know how to swim before. It wasn't really that difficult. Adele said that I learned pretty quickly and no, I could swim.
So what was your training like? Did you train every day? How long? How many hours?
I trained about every, I don't think it was every day, but I think it was for 2 hours or an hour.
Mm-hmm. If I can interject at this point.
Yes, go ahead.
We started February of 2020, which was just a few weeks before Barbados closed down for COVID. So we had 2 sessions a week at that point. The first one obviously would have just been an assessment of what he could do, because when I spoke to his mom on the phone, she said he could do a little sing. And I thought, well, great. So then we don't have to start from zero. Turned out to be that little saying was he could get in the pool and get his wet. and he wasn't afraid. So it wasn't quite zero. But yes, he couldn't swim at all. And so we had just a few weeks, twice a week. And I did it during my work time. So it was an hour each time he came to the pool, just learning basics, gliding, getting streamlined, feeling the body position, feeling the body position in the water. For me, it was, well, I like to separate what I do into teaching and coaching. And it was truly teaching because he had to learn new concepts and new motor skills. You know, we started there and then COVID came along and we were shut down. We resumed in July or August, around that period, just when Barbados was beginning to, you know, ease the restrictions.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And of course, the aquatic center was closed at that time, still not taking persons. So then we did everything at Browns Beach.
So Adele, in terms of working with Antoine, you said you had to teach various concepts and new concepts. Was that challenging for you, since this would be your first venture in training persons with disabilities?
It was a learning process for me. I found that I had to, well, there are certain concepts that you work with in terms of learning the skill. You know, you need to look at the balance and coordination and flexibility of whoever's in front of you. And for each person, that's going to be different. For Antoine, the biggest challenge for me was understanding balance or applying the concept of balance to him, because the one leg being missing, it required, you know, his body will balance at a particular point, which is different than if you were symmetrical. So I had to get in the water myself and, you know, kind of just let one leg do nothing and try to feel for myself where my balance went so that I could then give that instruction to him. So at times it was exciting for me to recognize. I had to change the words that I would normally use to give instruction. Overall, I would say it just made me a better instructor.
Fabulous. So, Martin, in learning and hearing all of this in terms of training for individuals with disabilities, how would you like Paralympics to work towards 2024 Games in France? I know we've not touched Japan as yet, but let's look at how can we build out a program to really attract athletes with disabilities and help them prepare for 2024 Paralympic Games. And you can jump in as well, Adele and Antoine.
Well, again, if I could preempt Martin, I will start. We need to have more participants. There are so many areas that people can participate in. You know, you may or may not be aware of the process of classification. And this is where persons with disability or the physical impairments are grouped into a sport class. This is where they are in a group where they wouldn't face unfair competition.
Right.
For example, Antoine has his amputation is below his hip. He would not swim against somebody who has an amputation below the knee because that person would have an obvious advantage on him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So This process of classification then provides so many categories that not all classes are represented at each games. So you can find a situation where some games is being put on and the class that, let's say, Antoine is in is not being represented. It's not on the schedule because they have to accommodate everybody. Each group of people can't be represented at each games. So it's fluid. For that reason, then, we have to, you know, broaden the base and ensure that as many people with varying levels of impairments have the skills to be able to participate if they so desire.
Okay, so Paralympics would have this list. Is the list already out?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it's really about Paralympics now mapping a road to France and making the appeal for persons with disabilities to get involved and be trained and become star athletes in France and locally.
Yes. I think, though, even before a person becomes an athlete, just getting involved in movement brings so much benefit to an individual. And even if just for their health initially, people need to come out and learn a skill, you know, get social. And then depending on their motivation, you know, you graduate to the competitive arena.
Right.
But that to me is a choice because competitive sport is hard work.
Yes. And it's not just the physical training, but it also involves eating healthily and resting healthily. So it does involve quite a lot.
Yes. That was quite eye-opening for me. When I saw the times, you know, swimming, you swim as fast as you can. That's who will win. When I saw the swim times of some of the international athletes, they're swimming faster with a physical impairment than some able-bodied people I know.
Right.
Just immediately seeing their swim times, you begin to get a picture that they have worked really hard and would have invested a lot of resources into their training. It's not something that everybody's going to be built for. But I still think you never know until you get there.
Right. So, Martin, what was the Japanese experience like traveling up to Tokyo and participating in the games?
Thank you, Yuli. For me, it was a very excited one. It was different from any of the games I have ever attended, given that there were quite a lot of COVID protocols in which we had to go through. Before we leave Barbados, we had to download an app to our phones 14 days before, and we had to put all our information into that app before we even left the country, like our vaccines, our COVID tests. We did 3 tests before we leave the island, one at 96 hours before, one at 72 hours before, and one morning before we leave Barbados for Tokyo. Arriving to Tokyo, we had to be checked again to make sure that we were all COVID-free before we were transferred to the village. And at the village, we had a warm welcome and reception from the Japanese official. As a matter of fact, the Japanese government have been very, very helpful and generous and supportive of the Barbados Paralympic Association throughout this whole venture, starting from their visit when they contacted us back in 2018, 2019. They were very, very supportive of us, and they have assisted us and continue to assist us up to this time, keeping in contact with us and trying to help us maintain our level and prepare also for France. In Tokyo, as many will learn by now, that we had to remain in a bubble, and that bubble was within the village. We could not go and do shopping and sightseeing. Like the opportunity had presented itself before when I first visited there in 2020. But and all in all, the experience was a very good one. It was great for the athletes that were there. It gave us opportunity to also network with other federations, with other national NPCs that were there, and also help us to be able to build a bond between the Caribbean region, the English-speaking Caribbean, the National Paralympics committees within this region. So now we have a more stronger bond in the region, which we hope that we will be able to strengthen and each other MPC be able to grow together. So all in all, what I would say is it was a very good experience. I think it was a very successful journey that we've been on because we brought back a lot with us, a lot that we can work with, a lot that we can work on that will help us towards France and beyond. Because as we share with our colleagues here, we are hoping that they will be able to also to learn as much as they possibly can from those who have been there and those who have had the experience, that they will be able to position themselves to be able to take over and when that time comes to be able to take Paralympics forward.
Wonderful. So the star of the moment, Antoine, what was the experience like for you? And I did hear the announcements about your swim, that meet. So tell me what it was like for you.
The experience at the Tokyo Olympics was really good. I get to practice a lot. Almost every day was practicing. I get to meet old friends that I saw from my last competition in Dallas, Texas. And I actually beat my personal record this time too.
Wonderful. What was your time?
My previous time was 41. And now my new record is 37.
Wonderful. So are you aiming to head off to France, God's Fair Life? And you're continuing your training, I hope.
Yeah, I'm going to start my training yet. It's going to start next week. But yes, I want to go on to the previous Olympics.
Okay. Right. So, Martin, let's come back to Paralympics. And what are some of your plans and hopes for the organization here in Barbados? And, you know, as we are talking about, really getting a strong base for our athletes.
Okay, Yudeli. My vision for Paralympics in Barbados is to see it grow, to be able to get as many people with physical challenges involved in Paralympic sports or power sports as possible. So embrace whatever sport that they may be interested in, if we can be able to provide assistance for them to be able to do that sport, we would like to be able to do that. Now, besides Paralympic sports, which is every 4 years, there are a number of other games which goes on. For instance, we have the Commonwealth Games, which is next year in Birmingham, England, in which we are hoping to prepare some athletes also to be able to attend those games. I must say that Paralympics, we cover approximately 28 sports. 5 of those are winter sports, so Barbados would not have really the opportunity to be part of those because we don't have snow here. But I would like to see as many people as possible. Paralympics have no limit in terms of age when it comes to sports. You can start at probably age 7 till 99. So age does not matter. It is your ability that we look at, not your disability. And we are hoping that we be able to build, just make Paralympics just as recognizable as the Olympics and as Special Olympics. As you will well know, that Paralympics is catered to persons with physical challenges, while Special Olympics caters for persons who are intellectually challenged. And for some time now, we have been in the back burner because Paralympics is a very expensive sport. We have to get specialized wheelchairs, we have to get specialized balls, etc., in order to be able to play these sports. Coming up shortly in the near future, there'll be opportunities for Barbadians, persons who are visually impaired, to get involved in blind football. This is a workshop which we were hoping to hold last year, and then we had it scheduled again for this month. As a matter of fact, that would have started in the next 2 weeks, but that had to be canceled again because of the situation here with COVID-19. Also, we have on the pipeline a badminton workshop, which was also in the pipeline for last year. It was rescheduled again for this year, but now has to be rescheduled again for next year. And we already have 7 wheelchairs here, badminton chairs here. We already have some equipment here, all ready for the workshop. But again, COVID-19 have struck us that blow, which we have not been able to get that workshop off the ground. Although all plans are in place for those workshops to come off. There's also the archery program, which again, because of COVID, we had to close that off shortly before I went off to Japan, because I'm really the head coach in archery for the paras. I'm responsible for the para athletes. that program is still there and ready to be running as soon as the COVID restrictions are off. We have swimming, as Adele is also the head coach for swimming. Wheelchair racing, we have wheelchair racing still there, and field events, because field events, shot put, discus, and javelin are three of the main field events which we do in Paralympics. And so there are a lot of other opportunities for athletes to go out there and represent the Barbados, not only Paralympic Games, which happens every 4 years, but there's also World Para Swimming, which will meet every now and then. There's World Powerlifting, etc. So there's a lot of opportunities for persons who are interested in sports to get involved. Once they identify their sports and we can facilitate their involvement, providing instructors or whatever we can to help them, we will be willing to do so. Of course, we have some challenges which have hindered that progress in the past, and those challenges still exist. And one of the major challenges that you would imagine we have in the disabled community is transportation. Most of the para athletes that we usually work with are normally have mobility problems in terms of getting from point A to point B. And I know for a fact that there are a lot of people out there who are interested in getting involved in Paralympics. But the thing about it is that they cannot get from point A to point B. They cannot get from home to training and from training back home. So that have hindered us a bit. Other than that is the normal financial issues in terms of being able to assist in the buying of equipment. As I said before, equipment is very expensive. You may find a racing chair may cost you, I think the last racing chair I was able to get for my son was $3,500, and that was more or less a beginner chair. It didn't even reach the professional chair level yet. So this equipment costs money, and a chair must be built. If you're dealing with wheelchair racing, those chairs must be built. Basketball, tennis, those chairs must be built to fit the athlete. That chair then becomes a part of the athlete body, because that is the vehicle that they use to be able to participate in their sports. So it should fit them like a pants.
Well, Martin, there is a tremendous amount of work, it seems like, that has to be done to really keep the sports moving and really preparing our athletes to participate at world level, regional level as well. So I want to encourage you, Paralympics, to do your best. And I want to say thank you for the work that Paralympics is doing in helping to not only build our athletes, but to represent our country. Now, Miss Adele, as a trainer, how would you want, or what would be some of the attitudes and aptitude that you would like to see coming from our athletes?
It's funny that you went with attitude. That was one of the more impressive things I would tell you about Antoine. And he would have said earlier that I told him he learned to swim quickly. He came with the best attitude that he could have come with. I would call him a workhorse if I could, because as soon as an instruction was given, as long as he understood what it is I wanted from him, he would just keep going and going. Sometimes I would turn around and say, like, stop. I just meant do, you know, one lap. He would go up and down and up and down. He drove himself. I just needed to be there to give guidance. Like I said before, competitive sport in general, it takes hard work, but it has to be intrinsically driven. So to answer your question, whoever comes to this must come with the attitude of, I am going to. My role as the teacher or the coach is just to give the instruction. All of everything is up to you. It's a journey that the person will go through. I would like people to come also not thinking of themselves as being disabled, because you work with what you have. Whatever your circumstance is, this is how God has blessed you. So you work within those boundaries. You achieve your potential, your maximum, your strength, your endurance, your speed. All of that is done within the boundaries of your physical ability. But as hard as you work, you also will reap those benefits. So it's just a matter of coming, looking to achieve your fullest potential. And once you have that attitude in mind, the rewards are there to be gained.
Can you share your contact information?
Yes, Paralympics Association can be reached by 232-7185, or you can contact us via our Facebook or Instagram pages. We're also on Twitter. Or you can email us at mpcbarbados1@gmail.com.
Okay. And what's the Facebook and your social media handles?
It's Paralympic Barbados on Instagram.
Okay. Thank you, Adele.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's have your final comments or words as we wind up the program.
I must say, Yudali, thank you to you and to Starcom Network for facilitating this information. I'm quite happy to be here to share all the information that I can about Paralympics, the benefits of getting involved, the general population helping to support us in any way they can, even if it's just to cheer as Antoine drives by. But I must say thank you to your organization. This has been a wonderful journey for me, and I see myself here for the long haul.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. We need that type of commitment. Antoine, what about you? What's your final word? What words would you want to say to other persons with disabilities, especially, and their families?
I would say a disability doesn't stop you from doing what you want.
Okay, well said, well said. And I look forward to seeing and hearing greater things coming from you.
Thank you.
Martin, the big man.
Thank you very much, Yudali. I don't want to echo what Antoine and what Adele said, which was all completely true. I am happy to be able to share this information with you. We are hoping that by sharing this information that we somehow touch some individuals out there and encourage them to be part of this whole journey. I'd like to encourage anyone who has a disability, anyone who's willing to volunteer in any way to assist us, to come on board. Let's have a conversation to see how we can work together to be able to strengthen and help this movement grow. What I would say to you is that we were also supposed to be having more or less a workshop or Athletes Day, Paralympic Day, which was in the planning for some time now, but have also been put aside because of COVID-19. But as soon as COVID-19 is all over, we hope to be able to bring together a variety of different sports in one particular area and have persons with physical challenge who are interested in participating in sports to visit us for that day and to be able to participate in any sport of their liking so that they will get familiar and know whether or not their sport is interesting to them and whether or not they want to be able to develop and grow in that particular area, that particular sport. So once more, on behalf of the whole organization, Paralympics Association of Barbados, I would like to thank you and Starcom Network for allowing us the opportunity to share with you. One of the things that I must mention, I must acknowledge, is two entities which have been working with us for the past few years and even more strongly within the past 2 years, the Barbados Sports Council, for able to loan us Adele and to be able to work with her as she worked with us to help assist us in developing our swimmers. And I would like to thank the Barbados Olympic Association for facilitating this in a lot of areas which we need help in. They have been a source of strength and very helpful, more so within the past 2 years, in helping us to be even able to get to Tokyo, also helping us now prepare to be able to get to the Commonwealth Games, which is next year. So I would like to thank those two entities for their assistance.
Well, let's all say thank you to the Barbados Olympic Association and the National Sports Council for the wonderful work they're doing in supporting disability sports. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudali Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest today, Martin Jackman from the Paralympics Association of Barbados, Adele Price, National Sports Council, also volunteering with the Paralympics Association of Barbados, and Antoine Boyce Vaughn, our star athlete who participated in Tokyo, Japan, and did his personal best. You can reach out to me on 1-246-269 9660 or via STARCOM on 1-246-430-7300. And you can write to me via email by writing to visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That's visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can listen to this and past episodes on the VOB929.com website. Look for the podcast Visions and you will find this and past episodes. So until next week, be safe and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Bye.